Reminds me of the song that our children and others sing as well. Lord, here I am again, down on my knees in prayer. You know, without him we can't do anything. We greet you in the name of Jesus, that wonderful name, that wonderful name. And I guess we've known that this song, I don't know when we grew up with it, I guess, or something. His name is wonderful. Truly, he is wonderful. And I guess it's by the providence of God and his workings that we are here this weekend again. And I'm not sorry necessarily about being here, but God left a big tree about 60 foot tall and come down on our building. And so Louise and I thought we should come home and see after things at least. So here we are in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Several weeks ago, I guess before Justin left, I had a message on Youth for Christ. And my heart also goes out to him as he endeavors to settle in and deals with homesickness and various things. And I would encourage our youth to let him know you think about him and pray for him. I know how it was when we went to Australia. We heard, we didn't hear as much as we'd like to, let's put it that way. But I do know that you as a congregation left us know at times that you think about us. And, of course, our boys, Jason and Kevin, were at Hillcrest. And they seemed to think they just heard very little from the church and even from the parents sometimes, I guess. So let's remember them. You know, the duties of youth are just, I don't know. We ran across a song that I would like to introduce to our youth, and maybe I'm sure you got your schedule for the youth singing, but I'm going to give this to James anyhow, and he can do with it what he wants as far as a youth. It says, Lord, here I stand before thy holy throne, facing the future all unknown, young and untried, yet trusting you to guide, show me the way you'd have me to go. And anyhow, it's very simple to sing. It's on the same notes as where could I go? So I'm going to give that to him. It was special to me, and I'm an older youth, really. My heart is still young, and so I thank you. But duties of youth, you know, are special. I mean, they're special duties to honor parents and be obedient and reverence and respect to God and stuff like that. And the place of young people in the church is the same as any other age group. We need to be involved and be faithfully fill our places and be interested in what goes on in the church, in our role of helping to build up the church as God gives the grace and strength for youth to do that. And it's good for youth to be in discipline. I mean, that's not nice, maybe, but if I wouldn't have been disciplined as a youth, as a child, and I don't know where I'd be today, but it causes us to think and to kind of sit apart in silence and realize that God, our parents and teachers and ministers, we have a love for the youth, and of course, we just want them to know that God has a great concern. He placed us in the world, and He wants us to live under his commands. You know, it's a healthy sign when our youth also enjoy the fellowship with older Christians. And it's wonderful. So, the present state of youth is a state of obedience and submission and learning to be useful and willing to be workers in the vineyard of the Lord. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah, well, though those statements were made no extra charge. Last Sunday, Henry preached on hell, a message that we don't hear very often, and maybe people don't want to hear it. But I thought, when we heard about the tree falling on our roof and mashing the lean-to and whatever, I thought we should come home. But Lord, what will I preach? What do you want me to preach? I told Norman there was two of us thinking that same thing. But anyhow, God is merciful, God is great, God is good, God is so merciful. And so the teaching on hell, hell is just as real as heaven. And a lot of people don't think about hell. They don't, a lot of them don't even believe that there is a hell, but there is a hell. Jesus was very clear on that as well. And that the teaching that Henry shared last Sunday. And a lot of people, they accept the teaching on heaven that Jesus did. And in the same time, also, he was teaching about heaven. And they receive the one, accept the one, and reject that there is a teaching on hell as well. Maybe I got that mixed up a little bit just now. But anyhow, as children of God, and appreciated Norman's expressions, as ambassadors for Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And as James mentioned in Sunday school class, and Norman as well, we have opportunities galore when we're out working and when we meet people. And it is so wonderful to have that confidence. God is in us, using us for his glory and not for ours. And so may God help us in that, in our youth, our children, as they grow up, that they understand that God has created them and he wants to use them as they grow up in obedience and discipline and so forth, the work that he has for us to do. Okay, heaven or hell? Henry preached on everlasting home of the doomed, which is hell. But now we have the home of the saved. In order to go to heaven, what must we do? Okay, and Jesus was saying here in chapter 7 of Matthew chapter 7, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, that leads to hell." And I'm not going to repeat all this that Henry preached. But anyhow, he says, "And many there be that enter in thereat," that go in thereat. But verse 14 says, "Because," now, why is that word "because" in front of this verse? He had already said, "Enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that which go in thereat." because straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, and or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. That is the ultimate test, the fruit test in our lives that God looks at. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name even cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by works, but because we are saved, we are his workmanship. He has worked in us and is working through us, and he's still working in me as far as that's concerned. And I'm glad he does. We want to continue on. These few words here that I read will show us how to get to heaven and not end up in hell. We need to take care, take heed to the fruit that we bear. Well, in order to enter heaven, you must first be come to God as a lost and condemned sinner. You must genuinely repent of evil. Repent of your sin. You must seriously trust Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. And all of this happens inside us. But then we have a commandment, the Apostle Paul says, that we need to confess the Lord Jesus before others. And as ambassadors of Christ, that's what we want to do, and that's what we will do. If we have that great love for Jesus through his mercy and grace to us, we want to share and to encourage others to follow the truth of God's word and not get off to some false prophet, as we read here. There will be false prophets. But we must center on the truth of God's word. It happens on the inside. But then as proof that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus, we must bear fruit and share, be an ambassador for Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, I believe, that if we confess... If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and, or is that quite, yeah, 9:10. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. And I must turn to that, I guess. I can't get those words just now. But that if the youth could probably... recite that, because I think most times we have encouraged them to learn those verses when we started them in the instruction class, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the truth of God's word. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so we need to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And why do people want to go to hell? When we have this this open door that Jesus opened up, why do they want to go to hell when Jesus opened the door that they can go to heaven? Well, and when does hell begin? Well, I guess it's at the end, at the end of the life, and the end of a Christless grave when the person dies. The everlasting home of the redeemed. John 14, 1, and the first verses there, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven. You know, the songwriter said, heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. So if at the judgment bar sinful spots your soul shall mar, you can never enter there. Sad that so many people are on the broad road when they could be, by the grace of God, on the narrow road. So we certainly can't say everything about heaven today, but we trust that we can whet our appetite to be more aware of our life here, of the fruit that we are bearing, and of our ambassadorship, how we are carrying that on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope we can make our preparation to go there through faith in God and know that it is real. God doesn't have any delight in the death of the sinners, the wicked, but that all should be saved and come to repentance. If we abide in him and he in us, if we continue in his word, like Jesus said to the Jews, if you continue in my word, ye shall be my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we can be free. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Yesterday on our way home, I seen a big, long 52-foot truck, and he had in big, bold letters on the side, "In God we trust." It blessed my heart, because there's so many people that think otherwise, and they don't even trust God. The message is there, "In God we trust," and we certainly don't want to let God down, but we want to continue on. And then someday we can board that old ship of Zion. I remember Norman and his boys singing that song, "The Ship of Zion," and we can board that ship of old ship of Zion and sail away to glory, to a city, to a place, and a land that is fairer than day. I hope we can all just be encouraged in that. When we get there, what are we going to do? That's what a guy asked me here some time ago. What are we going to do in heaven? Of course, I don't think he was even a believer. Some people talk about shoveling coal. Others, well, maybe that was a statement that he made in hell. Be shoveling coal in hell, maybe. But anyhow, I have no way to say exactly what we're going to do, except praising God for bringing us there. praising Jesus Christ, being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and realize that it was because of Him. And when we see Jesus, we want to see Jesus. Yes, we have a lot of friends and family there already, but we want to see Jesus. And when we've been there and looked around, possibly our ideas would be, my, this is much better than I even ever thought about. It's so wonderful. And we'll look around, and maybe when we've been there 10,000 years bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And so may God help us to be in that spirit. Well, I know we've got trials and troubles, like one verse of this song says, well, I may face some trials and disappointments, keen hopes are shattered in my feet, at my feet may lie sorrow and care, my lot someday may share. Still, may I say, Lord, here am I. And God takes us through these things, but He wants to make us become more like Jesus, filled with love and kindness, love for the brethren, love for the souls of men, love for sinners. And it'll just be more wonderful than... And it makes me think of the Queen of Sheba when she came to visit Solomon. She heard about his glory and his riches and all that. And when she got there and seen everything, she said, well, the half has never been told. And I believe that's the way it's going to be, more or less that way. I read a story a long time ago already about a little girl that was born blind. And as she grew up and as she got older, and it seems that I know for a fact that some of these people that were born blind, somehow they have come up with something that they can actually bring sight. And not too many years ago, a little girl was born blind, and they had done surgery, some kind of it, and she could see. Wonderful, wonderful. That little girl told her mother, why didn't you tell me of the beauty of the world around us, the beauty of the trees and everything? It's so beautiful, the sunshine, and how? Why didn't you tell me all this? And she says, child, I told you about these, but I could not really bring out the beauty. But now you see it. So it is with us. We can't really share the beauty of heaven, I don't think. It says something about the streets of gold and all those things. But when we really see it, I think it's going to be far beyond than what our imagination could be. And so we can do our best to tell people what heaven looks like, or what the Scripture reveals to us. But our description is just not, it's just inadequate. It's not the wonderfulness of seeing it there. And heaven is a place. It's a wonderful place because there's a lot of things that are not going to be there. And I'm just going to mention a few of them. I know that clock's moving on pretty fast. There won't be any night there. That'll be something different, won't it? Won't be any night there. Won't be any darkness. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? We're so used to the 24-hour cycle that God made the sun to light us in the daytime and the moon for the night. And the other week, we had so many rainy days, didn't see the sun. We had so many dark nights. And the first night that the clearing, the moon came out, and I woke up during the night and says, wow, did somebody turn a light on? I mean, it was so bright. And I just In the mornings when I went outside, I just have to stand in awe and look at those stars, those star formation, Orion and the Big Dipper and several others, the Seven Sisters or whatever it is. You know, it is so marvelous and wonderful. And so the blessedness of heaven, there won't be any night there, won't be any darkness. And of course, the days that after that, just a couple of days last week, the sun, the clouds floated away, and we had sunshine again. The ground was mushy with water and saturated. But anyhow, it'll dry up again. But anyhow, there's no night there. A lot of people dread darkness. I guess they better live for Jesus in heaven if they don't like darkness, because heaven is a place of light, because God himself will be our light. And the horrors of darkness, hell is pitch dark. I'll never understand how there can be a fire burning and it's pitch dark. But God, you know, that's the place of the doomed, not the place of the redeemed. And there's no crimes or no drunkenness and no drunken drivers, and everything will be, I don't know how it'll be, but it'll be so wonderful. And there won't be any pain there. No pain. There won't be any sorrow there. No sorrow. I'm not going to refer to a bunch of scriptures, but you've read those. I mean, Henry even shared some of those last weekend. But there will be no worries there. People worry a lot. Some people get all upset about a little bit of something, and they wouldn't even have to worry about it. And there will be, in heaven, there will be no cares, no burdens, nothing to vex us. All will be that peace and joy that we have in our hearts. The peace that passes all understanding, to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We have that now. It's just a little bit like Paul writes to the Ephesians. It's a, I forget what the word is now, like a down payment. What is that word that he used? We had a lesson in the lesson. It's the, Ernest, thank you. And it's just like a down payment. When we get there, the plans are made already, but let's continue in them, because if we let loose, we'll lose out. I mean, the Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful for that he reminds us. And he draws us. And so may we truly respond to that. And may we be workers in the vineyard of the Lord, that when God comes to inspect our work, that he can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in little things." And then he says, "I will make thee ruler over many things," something like that. There will be no temptations there. No temptations, no sin, nothing that will interfere. Our time will be over, and we will be there. And of course, there will be no sea there. We enjoyed to go to the ocean when we were over in Australia, just a couple hours from the ocean. And I just love to stand there and watch the waves come in. big waves crashing against the rocks. And of course, our visit to Niagara Falls here a month or 6 weeks ago was the same. That the greatness, the vastness, and I forget how many million gallons of water goes over Niagara Falls in a day or in an hour. But, you know, the sea speaks of storms, and there won't be any there. Won't be any storms in heaven. It'll be peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And it's a city. The Revelator, like I said earlier, you can read those scriptures. I knew time was going to run short, but it's a city, the city of God, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. John the Revelator saw that. And it's a home of the redeemed. It's a place where Jesus is. You know, the Philippian jailer, he asked Paul and Silas, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" He was very earnest. "What must I do to be saved?" And they just said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You know, it's too simple for a lot of people to just simply accept that and trust in God, the Almighty Creator. And so we just want to continue to abide in Jesus. There's only one road that'll lead to heaven, and that is the narrow way. And Jesus walks with us on that way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," if I would have quoted on further in John 14. "And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is only by him." And in our Sunday school lesson, we had the same message. It is only by him. We are saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. And so the sad part about it is a lot of people will not get to heaven because they love the world and the things that are in the world. They love it too much. And they fail to really have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts because they care for the world. And John, the Revelator, John, the Apostle John, in his epistle, he said that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For in the world are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which are of the world, not of the Father. He said if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so may we truly take heed. We've had a message on hell and on heaven. Which one do you want? Of course, there's no question which one we want. So let's live for Jesus in heaven, and we will be able to get there by the grace of God. Thank you for your prayers. Let's kneel for prayer.